Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchless.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 29th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Let's get to Dustin May here. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 4 Ks against the Cardinals. Yes, he did get a win, but I feel like Dustin May isn't going to live up to the expectations that I had. Maybe you had too, entering the season, of being this legitimate SP3 type. As I don't feel like he just does enough with his repertoire. It's a lot of sinkers, and it's a lot of reliance on those to get his strikes, and they're not really that great. They're really good to be used maybe 15-20% of the time to really jam right-handers, but I feel like he's not really the kind of pitcher we want him to be that's overwhelming with those fastballs. Same thing goes with the curveball and the cutter. Only 5 total whiffs, actually 4 total whiffs across 40 cutters, curveballs, and changeups all coming on that curve. Yeah, that's not it. That isn't the Dustin May that I want to see. I don't really know if we're going to get that this year. So not saying that he's not going to be good for your 12-teamers, just not the overwhelming SP2, SP3 that we kind of hope for. And if somebody's willing to buy Dustin May for that kind of price, then sweet, go and make that trade. Max Fried and David Peterson pitched a 5-inning game against Atlanta and the Mets, of course. Where that game ended after 5 innings because of rain, and luckily for the Braves, they scored 4 runs against David Peterson to win that game. Max Fried, aces against ace, killed it in that. I think he's underrated at the moment. While David Peterson, it's weird to see him change up do well as opposed to the slider. I don't really know if I totally buy it from him, but he does have a good schedule coming up, and David Peterson should be rostered for those games against the Tigers, the Reds, and the Nats. I can't speak straight. Apologize, it's late. It's just how it sometimes happens on the weekends. Y'all get it. I'm good health-wise, for the most part. I still can't enunciate as clearly as I used to, but we're getting there, guys. Who's not getting there is Jacob deGrom. He left this one with forearm tightness, and does feel like it's gonna happen. This is it. All of that, no one should be taking any victory laps on injuries whatsoever, ever. It's bad, bad juju. I really didn't want to see this. They say it's precautionary. Yeah, okay. We know. And I just wish that he can pitch a full season. Aaron Nola, 8 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks against the Astros. Awesome to see that. I don't like seeing 17% CSW on his curveball, though. That's not fun. He gets the Dodgers and Toronto next. This is part of that gauntlet for Aaron Nola. It's the lowest earned run total he's had all year with just 1 earned run. So I hope that the curveball comes back. That's really the thing to me that is going to make me excited about Aaron Nola. I'm glad he was able to get by with Colt strikes a ton in this one. It feels like he's not going to be the guy without that curveball back. But the Dodgers haven't been so strong, so hopefully we're all good with Aaron Nola. Tyler Anderson got the Gallows pole with 20 whiffs on the night against the Brewers. 6.2 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. And guess what? Yes, it's the changeup going 13 for 45 whiffs that really propelled that. 47% CSW for Tyler Anderson's changeup is insane. That's what you want to see, but it was against the Brewers, and this is the Rangers next. I don't really want to do that, but I do like that Anderson did have his changeup. It's just one start of really having it. So I can't really bank on that against the Rangers. Wade Miley against the Angels. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks. Do you want a Vargas rule this? He gets Coors and the Dodgers next. I don't. If you want to, go ahead. Knock yourself out. Merrill Kelly just survived Coors, though. And I've been pretty down on Merrill Kelly, essentially calling him a Toby. Not a Holly, a Toby. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. In case you're wondering, a Holly is just a better version of a Toby that is over 20% K rate. Well, a Toby is sub 20%. Kelly now gets a lovely schedule. Nats, Marlins, Athletics next. So yeah, hold on to this one. That's fine. Shane Bieber against the Red Sox is a Holly. 7 innings, 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Maybe it's Obi. He's not going to be a 25% plus strikeout rate is the point here. His slider, 1 out of 8 whiffs, 13% CSW. What is going on? This was one of the premier pitches in baseball for like 3 years. And Shane Bieber hasn't had it. I don't know, man. It's terrifying. I'd sell high on Shane Bieber if I could. Because any idea of what Shane Bieber is just not it right now. Lucas Giolito against the Rays, and maybe Shane Bieber does get better, but I don't know. 6.2 innings, 2 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 6 Ks for Giolito against the Rays. He threw 92.4, which isn't what you want to see. You want to see 93, 94 from Giolito. He only threw 8 changeups, and that is not a cool thing. It was more fastball slider, and the fastball slider was really the Blake Snell blueprint, which is nice, and maybe you can incorporate those changeups. And I ranted in the SP Roundup about this. I want to do it again here. I got a really great email from a listener talking about how some pitchers say, like, look, the thing that analysts miss is that we change what we do start by start based on the game plan and who we're facing, and we adjust, and we're not just like one thing and that's all we are. And I understand that. I will say that there are certain pitchers that can do that where they have a full repertoire of stuff and they'll change it. For example, guys will throw more changeups one day, like Carlos Carrasco, because he's going against lefties, while against righties, he'll throw more sliders. So if we say, like, whoa, his changeup went up 30% this game, that's because he threw against lefties. Sometimes it's also, of course, saying, like, look, this guy's really bad at sliders, so I'm going to throw more of those. Or this guy really hits my curveball, I'm not going to throw that. And that might go through the entire game like that. But that's usually small changes and not really sweeping ones. You know, guys that generally throw high and low are not all of a sudden going to be east-west. And I generally also am in the mindset of a pitcher should be throwing their best things regardless of the hitter. Most of the time. That is, it feels so bad getting beat on your number 3, number 4 pitch on something that isn't your best skill and not executing that skill and getting burned by it. Why would you do that? That is not your best thing, right? So it's like a guy trying to shoot a 3 because that's what's given up to him, but he's not a 3-point shooter. And I feel like in this game, you could say, oh, he didn't throw changeups because the Rays are good against changeups or something like that. That's weird. I wouldn't change who I am because of the batters. If you're good at something, do it and get beat by that thing because you were good at it, you know, because they're better at it. Okay, fine. I can hang my hat on that, you know. And hey, this worked for Giolito. Maybe that was the game plan and it worked. By all means, go ahead. But as an analyst, I'm still going to be out here and say, okay, that's what they're deciding to do as a team, but I still think that's a bad idea. I think it's too generalized. I think there is a lot of nuance to go into the individualized at-bats and what you should be using, and by saying this full season that he is this kind of guy, I think that is wrong, very much so. But I think the general blueprint of how they have success is coherent. And then the real fun comes into what they should be throwing inside the specific at-bat because of what the batter is good or bad at. I think that's fine. Does that make sense? Okay, we go on and we're going to talk about Jesus Luzardo, Alec Manoa, Luis Castillo, Marcus Stroman, so many other guys after this break.
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat, and that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Jesus Lizardo went 6.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. It's so frustrating seeing 1 earned run in 6 innings, and then they come out for the 7th, and then they allow another run. That's what happened here. 40% CSW on both the slider and the changeup. 97, really, for Lizardo this start. Everything is great here. Marcus Stroman is a Holly, but only 3 Ks here, but... yeah, you trust him more than your standard Toby. When against the Marlins, you expected more, but whatever. Alec Manoah went 5 innings, 2 earned runs against Seattle. That's really good, but it was 10 base runners, 6 hits and 4 walks and 7 strikeouts. He's not back. The slider was gone. It was could not be trusted here at all. He had got 14 called strikes on the sinkers, and that's what got him through the outing. He did get 5 whiffs on 4 seamers. It wasn't like 10, but at least he's getting some now. Yeah, this isn't it for Manoah. I'm still waiting for the tiara to come off. That is, turn it around right away if you're not familiar with tiara. But yeah, Alec Manoah isn't the guy we want him to be right now. And I hope he is soon. Luis Castillo against the Jays. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. He didn't have a slider or his changeup, and he only had a 12% CSW, and he still managed to survive. Good job, Castillo. I don't expect this moving forward. I'm glad that it wasn't so bad when you didn't have your best stuff. Zach Eflin against the White Sox. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Honestly, 74 pitches. I'm happy that the Rays will likely push him to 80 next time. You wanted it to be better with the whip against the White Sox. Whatever. You move on. Framber Valdez did not have his good curveball whatsoever. 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks for Valdez against the Phils. Again, I'm happy he survived without his best stuff. He's not going to get the aces, going to ace that, because he's always going to have a whip over one every single start. It was a 1.14 in this one. I feel like he's destined to be around that to 120. It called the Valdez curse. And yeah, that's just how it is. Cal Freeland did well against the Diamondbacks, and Coors. I don't care. I mean, it was a PQS, like poor quality start. 3 Ks, like not like exceptional. So don't chase that. Drew Rosinski returned, and he's nothing that you want to focus on right now, but maybe in the future he can be a Toby We Stream or something like that. Luis Sessa, whatever. Nick Pivetta, 4 runs in 5 innings, and you shouldn't be trusting Nick Pivetta. David Peterson, we already talked about. Jack Flaherty actually had a good start. I know, 4.2 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks is not what you want, but 7 Ks, 15 whiffs, 34% CSW. He was 93-94 in the fastball. He went 11 out of 30 whiffs. On the curveball, not the slider, on the curveball. Kind of weird. But whatever, he's getting whiffs with a secondary, and he has fastball velocity. I honestly think that Flaherty, 3 of his last 4 games, did the things we want to see, and he's more dependable than the lines will tell you. The lines will tell you that he's back and forth and cherry bomb-esque, and you can't believe it. I actually think that Flaherty figured something out 4 starts ago and has been grooving with that. He gets the Angels, Cubs, and Brewers next. Not the most exciting with the Angels and Cubs because they have been, I think, a top 10 offense the last 14 days or so. Still, I think Flaherty is someone to be holding on to moving forward. Clark Schmidt, 8 Ks, but 11 base runners in 5 innings, 5 earned runs. The slider was good. I think there is a problem here for Schmidt against the lefties, as he doesn't have a changeup away. He doesn't have a good four-seamer. And those are generally good nullifiers against lefties. Yeah, it's a sweeper, but he doesn't have a vicious slider to go back foot against lefties. It just doesn't quite, he doesn't really have that thing. Now, a cutter is good against them, but he needs something else. And I wonder what that's going to be. I'm staying away from Clark Schmidt right now. Jordan Lyles, 700 runs, 4 innings against the Twins. You really shouldn't be trusting Jordan Lyles unless it's like the best matchup and you're desperate for a quality start. And Pablo Lopez, 6 innings, 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Honestly, this felt like one of those starts where it just didn't go his way. And he did not pitch to the tune of 6 earned runs. He pitched to the tune of like 2 earned runs. And it wasn't the greatest start he's ever had. He was at 94, not 95 plus. But yeah, Pablo deserved better. I think 2 starts ago was the one that was really, really frustrating. This one was a step in the right direction. I think he's going to be much, much better moving forward. Feel good about Pablo Lopez. Looking at today's starting pitchers, Spencer Strider, Kevin Gausman, Clayton Kershaw, Corbin Burns, Christian Javier, Zach Wheeler, Hunter Greene, Reed Detmers, Grayson Rodriguez are all auto starts. Grayson Rodriguez is here because of the rainout yesterday. I do apologize to everybody. I accidentally had Sonny Gray still in the one for today and not Bailey Ober. The game is going on right now, so it doesn't really matter what I say. I haven't seen the result. I would have put Bailey Ober in the probable start tier, probably above... I would put him above Vince Velasquez. It is the Royals. I literally don't know what the line is. I'm going to say above Joe Musgrove because that is terrifying today. Oh, yeah. Probable start tier. So it would be Bailey Ober, Joe Musgrove, Jordan Montgomery, Nathan Eovaldi, Vince Velasquez, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Dean Kramer. Keep in mind, with the Musgrove start, it's in Mexico City, and we just don't know how it's going to go. And I'm just like, I kind of don't want to do it, but you start your studs, so he's here in the probable start. Jordan Montgomery against the Dodgers, they've been struggling a little bit, so that's okay. Nathan Eovaldi, the Yankees do not have Aaron Judge. Vince Velasquez is a stream pick of the day against the Nationals. Eduardo Rodriguez against the Orioles, and Dean Kramer against the Tigers. Dean Kramer, I think, didn't do well here. But he was because it was the Tigers, I'm going to be honest here, and I understand my thought process and everything. I'm just going to keep going with this podcast. Questionable start here. Lance Lynn, Matthew Boyd, Rich Hill, Edward Cabrera, Zach Plesac, and Tyler McGill. Lynn against the Rays is obviously questionable here. Matthew Boyd against the Orioles. Don't know how he did. I just saw that Kramer did poorly. Rich Hill against the Nationals. That could work out as it has so far for Rich Hill against weak teams the past couple starts. Edward Cabrera against the Cubs. I don't trust the command. Zach Plesac against the Red Sox. Hopefully 50% sliders will work. I don't know. And Tyler McGill against Atlanta. Maybe that does work out. That has actually been postponed. And we'll see for tomorrow how they structure that rotation. They might not actually need to go with Jose Buto because Tyler McGill will take that spot, and then Scherzer returns on Monday. The do not start tier, Sean Manaea against the Padres. That is just in Mexico City, and I don't even know how long he's going to go for. Brian Bello is replacing Garrett Whitlock in that rotation because Whitlock is on the IL. Brad Keller, Caleb Killian, Johnny Brito, Noah Davis, Chris Flexen, Tommy Henry, Yanni Chirinos, Patrick Corbin, and Kyle Muller, and Chad Kuhl. You don't really need me here. Caleb Killian, I know, is going against the Marlins, but it's an MLB debut, or at least a season debut, and didn't look good in the minors. Tomorrow, much more important. Drew Rasmussen, Sonny Gray, Nick Lodolo, Justin Steele, Charlie Morton, and Chris Bassett are all my auto starts. The first four, I think, are obvious. While Charlie Morton against the Mets, I think I'm going to go with it. He looked good in the last couple starts, and the Mets, fine. Chris Bassett against the Mariners. I mean, the Mets are a good offense, don't get me wrong, but they're not, I think, the Rays, Rangers, or Jays in my view at this moment. And Chris Bassett against the Mariners, I think you just start Chris Bassett these days. Yu Darvish in Mexico City against the Giants has me hesitant. You have Nestor Cortez against Texas as the probable start here. I think you still go with him, but I don't really love it. Brady Singer is a little bit better than Cherry Bomb, and he gets the Twins. I think you're fine with it. Logan Allen against the Guardians, I prefer more than the other side of Chris Sale against the Guardians. Logan Allen, of course, against the Red Sox, I apologize. I like what I saw from Logan Allen. Chris Sale, I know he's been very Cherry Bomb-esque, but he really does deserve better than the failures he's gotten. Yoan Avieda would be my string pick against the Nationals, but he's picked up in half of leagues right now, which is shocking to me, but I guess he's done that well. But I don't think he deserves that as far as his actual skill set at the moment. He's still unpolished, I think, with his command, but it's the Nationals, so fine. And Kyle Bradish is able to be streamed against the Tigers. I'm going to do that. And then Martin Perez without Aaron Judge, I think, could even be above Bradish, could even be above Oviedo here because that is a much worse offense. Questionable starts here. Jose Urquidy couldn't do well if you're chasing a win against the Phillies. Josiah Gray against the Pirates. The Pirates have been good, so I'm a little bit hesitant for that one. And Josiah Gray's command isn't polished. You have Alex Cobb in Mexico City, and that's terrifying. Spencer Turnbull against the Orioles. That could work if you're desperate for a good start. And Noah Syndergaard if you're desperate for a quality start. This could work against the Cardinals. Maybe he does get a win as well. The Cardinals have been struggling. In the do not start tier, Jose Suarez, Marco Gonzalez, he gets Toronto. Ryan Nelson gets Coors, Bailey Falter against the Astros. Ken Waldichuk, Colin Ray, probably Tyler McGill, and he will slot at the end of questionable starts here now. Mike Clevinger, Brian Hoeing, Austin Gomber, and Jake Woodford. close out the Do Not Start tier. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. But my name is Nick Pollock, and may your bat be low and your strikeouts high.